Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello friends, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and joining me for the discourse on this episode is Aaron.
Hello.
And Jason.
Hey. I'm here for tournaments.
I'm getting popcorn.
Let's watch these kids beat the hell out of each other.
Mmm.
Love
tasty.
It.
Tasty. My favorite.
A true Olympics of child savagery.
You gotta love a crowd that bays for child blood.
You know, I've, like, tried to watch MMA fights before, but it just, like, I wish they were smaller and softer and more easily broken,
just
these fighters.
Not enough kid tears.
Not enough kid tears
is the problem
in blood sports these days.
Luckily,
blood
we
sports
have
these days.
Luckily, we have hit anime to solve our problems. Every week on this show, we cover three episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z from its original 291 episode broadcast.
That's right.
We're
There's
closing
only that
in.
Many?
There's only
oh
that
gosh.
Many.
So close to the end.
We're doing 211, 212, and 213 this week.
Are you guys excited?
I am.
Are you guys excited for fights? For punches? For tournaments? For intrigue?
I'm excited to meet new characters.
That is a thing that does happen.
Mmm. Mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited, although it doesn't seem like it'll happen. It certainly doesn't these episodes. For our fighters, our favorite fighters, to fight somebody who isn't each other for a minute. Like, just, like, you can pull some punches and, like, pretend
sure.
to be, like, almost losing. Just, I just want to see somebody who has not black spiky hair fighting somebody who has not black spiky hair.
That's fair.
You cry for variety.
Hopefully it's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, we're covering the end of the junior division, which is just Trunks and Goten.
Really is just, yeah.
Kids stuff.
The only two who could possibly make it. And they have a bit of a friendly rivalry between the two of them.
They do.
It's kind of like their dads, but more friendly.
It's kind of like their dads, only one of them, only they're both aware of the rivalry, and not just Vegeta.
Right.
And they're mostly friends, and they happen to be competing right now, but mm-hmm. otherwise they're friends.
There's not a lot of malice.
There is a friend. There is actually a friendliness to this friendly rivalry.
Mm-hmm. So before we start to talk about the episodes, I wanted to ask the two of you, have you experienced this in your life? Have you ever had a friendly rivalry with someone in a specific kind of competition setting?
Oh, yes. Really?
Well, yeah, I played trumpet, so that's kind of... It's kind of the whole thing.
That would do it, yeah.
You know, your stand partner is, I mean, it's a very, I mean, you're partners, you're working together, you're trying to be in tune with each other when you're playing, be listening to the other one and making sure you're, like, matching their sound, but also, you want to be better than them, and they push you to get better, because you want to be better than them, and they want to be better than you.
And then everybody's better.
And then that like, third chair, I was pretty much, not always, but most of the time, first chair. Just not to toot my own horn, so to speak. You get it?
I do.
Trumpets. That third chair is always very much the Vegeta of the situation. Like, oh, I'm gonna beat all of you.
I'm still trying to think. Like, I have certainly had... more along the lines of the Vegeta ones, where it is one-sided. Not so much malice behind it. But certainly when I started my job as an animator, when I first started, I was sitting with somebody in front of my desk that I could see their screen. Like, their back was to me.
And they were doing very well.
Yeah, so they were a veteran of the studio, and I don't even know if they knew that I was looking. ever, but I would occasionally just peek up to see how they were doing, and that would spur me to do better, because boy, they were better than me. Boy, oh boy. And I did not want that to be the case forever.
Interesting. I don't know.
Jason, I have a confession to make. When I was trying to do art, I was... You were my Goku. I was like, I gotta...
What?
I gotta beat Jason. I need to be better at art than Jason. And I didn't succeed. And I'm competitive when I think I can win, but once it's clear I can't win, I stop caring.
No, that's... Oh, that's very me. I'm fiercely competitive. I get very quiet and sour when I start losing multiple times at board games, which is... I guess you could say, like, what me and my boyfriend do at board game cafes would constitute a friendly rivalry, because... boy,
the one time I went to
really
a board game cafe with you, that fits.
Yes, you did. I remember. Yeah. I just get very, like, very inwardly drawn, because I'm like, oh, I want to beat him next round. And I usually never do. If it's one of those, like, crazy Euro games where you have to manage resources and there's a draw phase. Mm-hmm. No, I can't. Ugh. I can't plan that many moves ahead. Get the fuck out of here.
You gotta know when you're the Yamcha.
Oh, boy. Let me think. I didn't really have any rivals at school that I can think of. I mean, there are definitely people in my class whose work I, like, admire. I'm like, wow, I'd love to, you know, draw like that or paint like that. And that kind of pushed me on. But nothing to, like, what I would call a rival state.
I think the only sibling rivalry that my brother and I had was either Mario Party or Smash Brothers.
Oh, you just unlocked it. Yes, back in high school, I had a Smash Brothers rivalry with my friend Garrett. We would spar for a while.
Who were your mains?
He was usually Jigglypuff or Marth, and I was usually Mario. And I reflected...
Doc or regular?
It was Brawl, so regular. And I reflected many things, and it made him quite sour.
Yeah, my brother and I never really competed it much, but Mario Party will bring it out of us.
Mario Party brings the hell out of anyone, really. Really, it does.
Even though it is all bullshit. Somehow that's the thing that does it.
I know! It's like, I want to win at this 20-minute coin toss somehow.
I want to win at this fucking roll of the dice.
How can I RNG better, though, is the thing. It's truly a perfect salt engine.
Truly.
Wow, I've never played this game, and
it's not a party. That's the misnomer.
It doesn't sound like it, no.
They call it a party. They are wrong and lying.
It should be called Mario Bloodsport. Even more so than Smash Brothers.
Really, really it is. It's the monopoly of Mario games.
Okay, now I understand. Mm-hmm. Now I get it. So yeah, Smash is just good punching fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Smash is what's happening in these episodes, really.
Yeah. Speaking of which, would you like to discuss some episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah, you Heck know yeah. I'd love to.
As mentioned before, this week we're covering episode 211, 212, and 213. 211, the English title, is Trunks versus Goten.
The Japanese title roughly translates to, It's My Turn, Goten's Anxious First Fight.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
That does happen.
That does happen.
I guess he's never been in a fight before.
Not what you would consider, like, a real martial arts thing fight.
He's just thrown rocks at his older brother.
You know.
Yeah, he's sparred.
And ridden dinosaurs.
Well, that's just friendship right there. Just making friends.
Nothing wrong with making friends with a dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, Goten, has he ever been around this many people?
Probably not.
Probably not. He's probably just a shy
boy. I mean,
certainly
not with this much attention on him.
Mm-hmm. No.
And his dad is watching.
His cool dead dad who's back. Processing that, I guess.
The episode begins and there are more crying children just punching each other. And knocking each other out.
It's just one crying child, and he is using the old crybaby attack. The oldest one in the book, is what the announcer says.
Vegeta would beg to differ. He's had that book a lot longer than you, announcer.
What? I don't know. Announcer's been there since Dragon Ball.
That's true.
Is this why the
announcer does have seniority as a character in this anime?
He does.
I wondered if this is why there were rules against starting to cry in the Otherworld tournament. Because this technique is just too powerful.
Yeah, it's been seen and done. We get it.
Could be underhanded, some may say.
Goten begins his fight against Ikose. Another mullet kid.
Who is the mullet brother of Idasa.
Yeah, they happen to be brothers. And Chi-Chi and Bulma are getting into their own fight in the stands with Idasa and Ikose's mom.
Do you remember how Idasa was like a pun on like unfashionable or cool?
Right.
Ikose's name is an anagram of the word Sekoi, meaning simple-minded. So yep. Toriyama's just dunking on these kids from the jump. That he made. Look at these idiots.
Maybe there's some catharsis to that. I don't know. Draw some idiot kids and then dunk on them.
That'll show them.
It makes you feel like a big man, I guess.
Makes you feel like a big mangaka.
Feel like a man when you draw a dumb kid. And draw another dumb kid to punch him into a wall.
The announcer begins to reminisce about the first time that he saw Goku enter the tournament because of Goten's striking resemblance to his dad.
I recognize that hair shape anywhere.
He remarks that was the best fight he'd ever seen with Goku against Jackie Chun.
True wonder. Wonder what happened to that dear Jackie Chun.
We will never know.
Hmm. There's a really good scene transition here, though.
Yeah.
Where we get to see like Goku's like defeated fallback pose, and he's like this after image behind baby Goten.
Oh right, yeah.
Oh yeah, so, that was really cute.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that little transition.
It was a nice way to bridge the flashback animation to new animation.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything quite like that before. Usually we just get old footage.
Yeah.
It really felt like the announcer was remembering.
Videl and Gohan are still stuck in line waiting for the next punching machine to get set up. And they are missing Goten's fight.
Ugh, the indignity of it all, really.
It's a real bummer.
Gohan says he wishes Vegeta didn't knock the you-know-what out of that machine.
His mom taught
him right.
The you-know-what.
I
wouldn't remark on, except for this came right after Ida-san.
Yeah.
Right after she yells to her son, beat the hoo-ha out
beat
of
the
that hoo-ha. Little
Amazing.
Excuse me, madam?
This is a public place.
These are children.
You kiss your mullet kids with that mouth? Ikose throws the first punch, and Goten catches it with his finger.
His little fingy.
Very reminiscent to Trunks and Goku fighting.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it is, isn't it?
Catches the sword with his finger. Ikose follows it up with a kick, and Goten deflects that too, and he tells him to take it seriously.
Come on, actually fight.
Yeah, what are you doing? I thought we were fighting.
Yeah, what is this?
During a flurry of blows that Goten is also easily deflecting, he just decides for himself that this isn't fun, and so he knocks Ikose out with a single punch.
This is sad. This is Goten realizing Santa's not real.
In a sense, yeah.
He's like, oh, people aren't as strong as my brother. They're actually really,
mom.
Really weak.
Or my
yeah.
mom.
Or my
mom.
Or
my friend Trunks.
They actually just suck.
Yeah.
And are easily destroyed. Well, not destroyed, but defeated.
It is a loss of innocence, in a sense.
Kinda, yeah.
Ida-san is furious in the stands, and it tries to attack Bulma for mocking her.
She thought she could lay a finger on Miss Bulma briefs. She was wrong.
Who saves Bulma?
Chi-Chi decks this woman.
Fuck yes.
You know, nothing brings enemies together like a common foe.
It's true.
It's nice to see Chi-Chi and Bulma getting along.
Did they normally not? I always forget. What's their, like, I always thought they were just kind of like, you know, like congenial with each other.
Yeah, they're not really friends. I don't, they don't have a lot of stuff in common.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to see them interact much. The last main, like, conversation I remember them having was in the Little Garlic arc.
Yeah.
And they were arguing about, like, who's old?
Older.
You're old. You're an old lady. No, you're old.
We also get a fantastic line from Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
It was something to the effect of just like, who do you think taught him?
Yeah.
Woman of my
certainly
dreams.
Not his father.
We get some montages of Goten and Trunks tearing their way up the tournament board with relative ease.
Mm-hmm.
And it is finally time for Goten and Trunks to face one another. The only real fight they're gonna get.
During this whole montage, Vegeta in the background doesn't, like, move a pixel.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered if he replaced himself with a cardboard cutout of himself to be in disguise, cheering on his boy. Obviously this isn't the case, but you can wonder. There's a man eating popcorn that makes the same sort of stressed out sounds as Vegeta later on. And he has a hat to disguise his hair. Just saying.
The plot thickens. Gohan and Videl are still going to miss this match also. They're still in line.
Gohan's really bummed out about this.
Gohan tries to cut in line.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is there and he's not having it.
Can't cut the Governator.
Can't cut the Governator. We live in a society, Gohan.
Hercule is invited to watch the junior division finals by his, let's say, effeminate staff member guy who's hanging out with him.
Yeah, what is this voice?
It's a choice.
It is a choice.
It's definitely like mid-90s, vaguely mincing gay voice that we're not sure how to place yet. Like, I expected that kind of shit from, like, Samurai Pizza Cats.
Yeah.
But, I mean, whatever.
It's got that lisp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hercule says, watch a couple kids pound the heck out of each other? Sure, sounds fun.
Sure.
Cool. Great.
Where's my coat?
Yeah, let me wipe my drool off of my face from my deep meditation nap.
Oh, yes, his deep sleep. His deep meditative stance. You probably thought I was sleeping, weren't you?
Hercule vaguely recognizes Goten, but he can't quite place where he might have seen this kid before. Hmm.
Just shoves that emotional reaction deep back down from whence it came.
I feel like I've seen this Mickey Mouse of anime hair before, but it's so hard to place.
I've seen this trademark somewhere. Goten and Trunks start their fight, and they're ferociously pounding on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they quickly take their fight to the sky, to the shock of everybody in the stands. Except, of course, the people who know they can fly.
Right.
The crowd is agog. There's
agog is a great word for it.
Deathly silence, because there were several moments in the children's division before I took a lot of screenshots of the audience.
Yeah.
I forget, did I say this while we were recording or beforehand?
No, this was before.
Okay, well, I'm going to say it now, because, like, their eyes were already popping out of their head at just children crying and punching each other in a normal way. They were desperately horny to watch these children fight. There was a hunger there.
They and were so out for blood.
And now they don't know what to do with this. Until finally they decide and someone in the crowd shouts, more! We want more!
Punch more!
More!
They didn't know how much they needed this. This was everything they didn't let themselves admit that they wanted.
Is this their perch? Like, what?
That's not a bad way of looking at it, I don't think. This is the one time every year that we are allowed to cheer for children murdering each other.
Really get your yayas out.
Yeah, it's like the Purge and Hunger Games all in one.
The Purger Games.
Chi-Chi and Bulma cheer on their respective boys and are inadvertently beating the shit out of Oolong in the process.
This poor pig.
I feel like maybe that's advertent.
It's not at the top of their mind, but it is intentional.
Well, it's just their mutual stress ball, I guess.
Right. Pulling on his ears and punching him in the head.
just trying to
eat some ice cream, which he loves.
He loves ice cream so dearly.
We learned it last week.
He said it.
He loves ice cream. All of the cheering for these boys is, like, encouragingly gentle. Like, there's no Itasobs in this crowd of yelling, "Murder! Murder!" You do your best! You're gonna
enjoy the fight.
Woo!
I forgot to mention that there were some cheers, like, from random crowd people just for the two of them.
Yeah.
When the final started. Like, they already have fans from the way that they rose up the ranks.
Some fanboys.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I love it.
The two boys land and they square off again, smiling at each other.
Oh, the smile's what makes it so good, bud. It really makes it all worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because all this time I was thinking, like, yeah, it's like this, you know, it's the Goku and Vegeta rivalry of the next generation. You know, it's Goku's kid, Vegeta's kid. They're facing off. Trunks is super serious. Goku's super playful. Or Goten's super playful. But then at the very end, and they both share that smile, I'm like, oh, they're both very into this dynamic.
Yeah.
Which, again,
they're having fun.
It is the friendly part of the friendly rivalry that is coming to play.
Videl and Gohan finally make it to watch some of this, and Videl's eyes are also bugging out, same as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally begins to realize that these two are probably stronger than the other adult competitors as well.
Yeah,
I'd say that her eyes are more similar to her dad's than the rest of the crowd's. There's no desperate horniness in her eyes. She's more agog.
It is pure shock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mildly dawning terror.
Oh,
at the existential threat this family could pose, should it so choose.
This is a problem.
She's happy to be on their good side.
Right.
Any other notes for 211?
Just wanted to give a special shout out to Goten's tiny polite pal at the start of every match.
Yeah.
I just think that's...
He's a sportsman.
It's very sweet, and it definitely shows that, like, while his mama did teach him fighting, his mama also did teach him manners.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good.
I'm excited to see more of these boys fighting.
Episode 212, the English title is... Best of the Boys.
I'm gonna give props.
What, you don't
to...
like that one?
I love it. I love Best of the Boys.
It sounds like a if they were a boy band and this is like their compilation album.
Let's hear it for the boys.
Best of the Boys. Let's give the boys a hand.
Trunks and Goten's greatest hits.
You might be surprised. The Japanese title does not spoil this for the first time. The Japanese title roughly translates to Happiness Times a Million. The junior champion is decided. That's all.
Happiness Times a Million.
It's not, you know, so-and-so wins.
The announcer is stoked to see these two competing. He has been waiting a very long time to see a fight this good again.
Or any fight, really.
Any fight at all.
Desperate.
Hercule is not yet ready to believe what he is seeing.
It's all just tricks.
Trunks and Goten do a little bit of trash talking, and Trunks readies a ki blast.
Now that's no fair. We didn't agree to ki blasts.
Gohan thinks that Trunks is taking it a little too far, but Goku reassures him that Trunks has it under control. How or why Goku knows that, that's beyond me.
Yeah, he just says, look at that kid, he's in complete control. Alright, Goku.
Yeah, if you say so, bud.
Vegeta remains motionless in the background.
The cardboard cutout.
Mm-hmm.
Trunks fires off his beam, and he raises it to the sky right before it hits the stands. So nobody in the stands is harmed.
Yay, he's got control.
Just like Goku said.
Goku was right.
I'm sure Goten has that exact same level of control. Precisely.
This is so good.
He responds with a Kamehameha, the signature of the San family.
Right.
But he's not so good at controlling his beams.
Nope.
And he accidentally blows up the roof of the waiting area.
That's fine.
It was he started doing that. He said his brother taught him, and Trunks said, "Oh, I'm sure he taught you how to control it, right?"
Right, Goten? Trunks? All right, Goten?
Meanwhile, the blast is coming right at him.
I am so enamored with this dynamic. Also, I think the beam that... I want to say that the beam that Trunks does is like a mini Final Flash?
It's like a little yellow key ball.
Well, he's got his
so
two...
The hand motion, you mean?
Yeah. He's got two key things that are... He holds his hands out to the sides and charges up key and then puts them together for a blast.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the idea that he's mimicking his dad's signature moves.
They're just doing two mini beams that their dads do.
Aww.
Yeah.
Hercule is having flashbacks to the Cell games and all of those weirdos with the flashy powers.
He can't deny it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Those aren't just tricks. Next thing you know, somebody's gonna have yellow hair.
Oh, that'd be crazy, Aaron. Get out of here.
You need to start trash talking me. This isn't a tournament or anything.
No, this is just a friendly rivalry.
Oh, okay.
Goten and Trunks agree to not use beams anymore because it's a little too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
They take to the sky again, but Goten loses sight of Trunks, who winds up behind him, and he catches him in a full Nelson.
Oh, no.
Goten is struggling, and he looks like he's about to give up. But then he goes Super Saiyan, and he can
We're
break free easily.
The reappearance of some old sound effects.
Yeah.
Of the rubber bone crunching sound effects.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
From Cell holding on to Gohan.
Mm-hmm.
So that was... These are some strong boys.
A blast from the past.
They're using all their muscles.
To break the other one. I love how Goten using Super Saiyan and jumping to the ground.
The devil, you say?
He hops to the ground, and Trunks is looking down on him with that, like, "Oh, I see how it is, look." Oh, okay.
Oh, this is what we're doing.
Oh, you're just gonna do it when it's convenient, huh?
But it was an accident. He didn't mean to.
I'm
he says
so
with a grin.
So sure.
I appreciate
this is so cute.
That when Goten goes Super Saiyan, Vegeta tells Goku to stop cheating.
Yeah.
As if he had anything to do with it.
It's like, I didn't know he could go Super Saiyan. Shit. And someone in the stand says to the effect
just shows you how invested he is.
One of the bystanders goes, "His hair turned yeller."
It's those Dragon World rednecks again.
Mm-hmm. This is truly the NASCAR.
Videl's eyes bug out yet again when she sees Goten get all golden. Like the Gold Fighter.
The Gold Fighter? Wait a minute.
And Hercule is certain now Goten is the kid of the guy who fought Cell.
Right.
They got that same gold hair. Trunks begins to chew out Goten for going Super Saiyan and forgetting that they promised not to and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he boasts that he'll be able to beat Goten without using one of his arms.
Ah.
He's pulling a freezer.
This raises
Goten
up.
Say.
You can't. You can't beat me with one arm.
Stop lying.
He starts windmilling one of his arms just to show how emphatic he is about
it. How essential an arm is.
You can flail with it.
The most powerful Pokemon move.
The ZTV crew are still trying to figure out what happened to all of the camera equipment in the stadium. Because they're missing this amazing fight.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting any of it.
Yep.
Even the disposable cameras from the gift shop are broken.
This director has the is a character creator vision.
Gosh, yeah.
He's got Sharpener's hair, Nappa's face.
That's clearly dyed, and he didn't dye his eyebrows or his, like, pencil mustache goatee.
And he's got, like, is it Vegeta's voice?
It's Vegeta's voice, like, original Vegeta.
Right!
Like, Saiyan Saga Vegeta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back when he was a little more shrill and angry.
I wonder, is that,
It's another contender for Vegeta in disguise.
Which one could it be?
When Goten momentarily gets the upper hand, because Trunks is only using one arm, Trunks shoots a beam at him, forcing Goten into the sky.
But they cheating said again. No beams!
We're just cheating all over the place, aren't
cheating
we?
Cheating all over the dang place.
See, this is the problem with having rules, is that then people break them. If you just have no rules...
Cell had it right.
Well, just no, gotta he blow had up rules, the stage. And then he just blew up, broke his own rules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Videl accuses Gohan of giving Goten special lessons after she left, because he can do a bunch of stuff that she can't, like turn golden.
Yeah, I want gold hair lessons.
Goten dashes down at Trunks, who is planning to dodge out of the way at the last second, so that Goten won't be able to read his moves.
Using the true San signature family attack. Headbutt.
Just full speed headbutt down. Use the gravity.
Mm-hmm. That's what we call a super dash.
And they play chicken for a bit, mm-hmm. and they barely miss colliding. And Goten uses a ki blast to cushion his fall so that he can quickly dash after Trunks.
Mm-hmm. This was cool.
And Trunks gets caught off guard by that maneuver. And he ends up cheating again and going Super Saiyan. And then he shoots his own ki blast to send Goten careening out of the ring.
With his left hand.
Shoots him with a ki blast with his left hand back.
That's the cheating hand.
As a Super Saiyan.
That's like double, it's triple cheating.
It's a triple cheat.
It's cheats on cheats on cheats.
Goten tries to slow himself down and he skids to a halt in the air. Like with a literal skid sound effect.
Looney Tune ass. I love it.
But he ends up landing in the stands.
Aww.
Vegeta's pretty pleased with the results.
Yeah.
Vegeta's going to fucking, like, drink this deep for weeks on end. If not months, years, going to be holding it over Kakarot's head.
He gloats to Kakarot about how there's always next year.
Oh my gosh. Tapping him on the patting him on the shoulder with his ungloved hand.
Ugh, pornographic. It's even mentioned in the trivia when Vegeta places his left hand on Goku's shoulder, his glove is missing. So
he took it off just to pat him on the back.
Yeah, I was gonna say we could pretend that it was an animation error, but I like to pretend that he took it off like a dueling glove.
Or he just didn't have enough time while running back to replace his cardboard cutout from his disguise. And he just didn't get that glove on before it was time to gloat.
I like Aaron's answer better.
It's really good. I was too busy cheering on my amazing son.
I mean, not like I care, but also like it's like I beat you mostly.
I beat you by proxy.
Goten is a little sour. With Trunks for the cheating.
A little sour. This is the best grumpy face I've seen in this whole show.
It's a big old pout face.
I wish Dave were here to say it's a big old puss.
It really is.
But Trunks promises to give Goten 3 of his toys, and Goten gets to pick. So all is forgiven.
Goten knows which ones he's gonna pick.
Right. Goten has an inventory of Trunks' toys in his head already. Knows which ones he's gonna pick.
Some eye on the prize shit.
I don't know. Like, I knew all my friends' toys.
They were on the Christmas list.
Yep.
And Christmas came early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now it is time for Trunks to have an exhibition match with Hercule, who is terrified.
Who is shitting his whole ass in terror.
Does this episode end with the announcer like trying to rev up the crowd.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Doing the Tinkerbell fucking clap. Like clap to make
can't
Hercule
say
appear.
No to a cheer. Which is true.
Satan's over here doing like the I took a screenshot of it. It is fully like the grimace emoji of like the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
He is just doing that in real life. There's something interesting happening here. We cut to the stands and we talk about how like everyone's like all the Z-Fighters are like Trunks is just gonna fucking knock him out one punch. What a pushover. That guy's an idiot. Videl's like, wait a minute, what? My dad's the strongest fighter in the world. And Gohan's just trying to, like, being like, haha, you guys are such a bunch of kooky kidders.
I forgot about this. It's not just a bunch of goofs. It's specifically Vegeta who insults him.
Ah, interesting.
The least likely Z-Fighter to maybe doing jokes.
Yeah.
Right.
To support Gohan in pretending to have made a joke.
To play along.
My thought is, like, Gohan is introducing a detail to the plot that really has never been around in Z.
Yeah.
He is introducing the concept of the masquerade. Where, like, there's this whole other world of crazy powerful fighters with beams and ki and flying and Super Saiyans. And Gohan is trying to keep that masquerade. I don't remember any other point in Dragon Ball or Z history where anyone has given a shit about who knows what powers people have.
Right.
So,
but now Gohan is a teenager and he cares about appearances.
Ah! I like
that.
Well,
it's such a weird thing because, like, Videl already knows he's got superpowers.
Yeah.
He taught her how to fly. She knows he's Super Saiyaman. But, yeah, he doesn't want to reveal, I guess, the inverse of him having powers. He doesn't want to reveal that, hey, your dad is
does
kind
not
of
have powers.
Not,
he's
not
got the opposite of powers. He dumped all his points into charisma, and that's it.
Gohan in these episodes is in the unenviable position of introducing two friend groups to each other.
Oof.
Really?
And trying to mediate those two dynamics.
It really is. It is unfortunate.
That's rough.
Episode 213, the English title is Big Trouble, Little Trunks.
God damn it. I mean, I love it, but damn.
I would like it better if it was L-I-L apostrophe.
Little Trunks.
Little Trunks. Big it feels trouble, like it should be trunks. A song.
Yeah.
Big Trouble, Little Trunks. Gonna punch Mr. Satan in the junk.
Gosh.
That's all I could think of that rhymed with Trunks. Bunks, hunks, all the hunks went to space, so can't sing about them.
Nope, they all flew away.
That's why we're left with all these mullet teens.
These unfortunate mullet teens.
Because
poor,
all the
proto-hunks
went with their hunky dads into space.
The Japanese title roughly translates to, "Now what, Satan? The greatest pinch in history."
God.
Your move, Satan.
Your move, Beelzebub.
That's such a good, so much better than not today, Satan. Now what, Satan?
Now what? Satan very reluctantly steps in the ring. And he is facing down his own mortality in the form of this little mauve-haired boy.
The strongest boy in the world, according to the announcer.
Weird assistant pushes him out.
The announcer asks if Trunks needs to take a rest first, because his match with Goten just ended. But nah, he's good.
Yeah, he's alright.
He's ready for this.
Boy,
the Sea Warriors take off to get some food. Not even bothering to watch the fight between Hercule and Trunks. And that miffs Videl a little bit, so Gohan stays behind with her to watch.
Boy.
I mean, you'd probably get hungry standing out in the hot sun, not having ice cream.
Hercule starts his flashy warm-up, and Trunks thinks that he's just trying to trick him into thinking that he's actually weak.
Trunks is so good and innocent.
He's having a real hard time telling if this guy is weak or the strongest.
It's like meeting a really bad mall Santa. And it's like, oh man, this Santa is so good at disguises. He really wants me to think he's just a rando in a suit.
Hercule tries desperately to convince Trunks that exhibition matches are to pretend.
It's just pretend fights.
It's just all fun make-believe. But Trunks assures him that he's going to give it everything he's got.
Boy.
I should have been in the grown-up fighting competition. It's fine. You can punch me for real. I've got it.
Hercule falls back on the tried-and-true fake-sick method of getting out of trouble. And he claims that he has a knee injury from back when he was fighting Cell.
Good move, Satan.
Probably that time he was flung
Keep
into
the
a
crowd
mountain.
Invested in you, while also maybe try to get out of what you're doing. Buy yourself some time to think of a better plan.
Yeah, exactly.
He does not get much time because the announcer offers to bring the medic out to the ring, so he just pops right back up, ready for another plan.
Nope, we're good. Just popped it right back in. I'm so strong. I'm good at relocating my knees.
Yeah, is that even a thing that you can do with knees?
I don't know. Maybe.
Relocate them?
Well, because, like, I know, like, with shoulders, you can... Mm-hmm. It's doable, and so, I mean, maybe hips, but, like, I feel like a disjointed elbow is a bigger deal. And a knee is kind of like an elbow.
Yeah.
For your leg.
I forget which... joints
are
in the
knee. I feel like
knee
injuries are typically pretty serious.
Yeah, that's like one of those gotta go in for some detail work.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of things.
Got a lot more. I don't know. I'm not even gonna pretend to know what I'm talking about. I'm not a sports person, nor am I a medicine person. I don't know about knees.
With some quick thinking, Hercule runs over to Trunks. And he invents something called the Champion's Greeting.
which is
an extremely soft punch on each other's cheeks before they start the real fight.
I mean, it's believable. You know, like a little, good job, champ. I'm
right,
gently punching
jab.
My computer, but you can't see it.
It's like, it's kind of like a gentle, sort of like a slightly gentler, like, toth punch.
Sure.
Just like a, atta boy. Slugger. Like
it's like a little bop on the chin.
Right.
The fight begins, and Hercule leans down to give Trunks the first punch in a very showy method.
Mm-hmm.
Letting the crowd know that he's going to give this kid the first hit. Yes. Trunks takes this opportunity to nearly punch his whole face off.
In slow motion.
Oh my god. I was expecting to just see, like, his skull fly out of his head like a Mortal Kombat fatality.
God.
My favorite part of the GIF is you can see his teeth separating from each other.
Oh gosh.
Like, they begin in a row, and then by the time his face is, like, trying to leave his head, the teeth are, like, separating.
They've gone on a journey, we'll say.
He goes flying out of the ring.
If we had seen him be even a little bit evil in this show, this would be his death.
True.
Exactly. Gotta watch it, Hercule. Thin ice, bud.
Hercule slowly lifts to his feet, and he puts on a brave face, convincing the stands that he lost on purpose.
Yeah, he was down for a good minute.
He'd let the kid win.
Yeah.
He says, wow, what a punch. Then everybody else just puts two and two together, because no mere child could beat the great Mr. Satan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He quickly excuses himself to take a nap in the waiting room, where he begins to writhe on the floor in pain.
Gosh, this was also very good. Because he doesn't immediately... He walks in his room. He shuts the door. He sighs. He kind of plops down into sitting crisscross applesauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then begins to writhe in pain. Like,
it's the worst I've ever felt.
And, like, this is very much him, like, when he had his tummy ache fighting Cell, except he's not performing for anybody. This is...
True pain.
Just true, the face of pain.
Oh, yes.
Just for us.
The Z-Warriors make their way to the athletes' resort area, but they have to introduce themselves to the staff first to convince them that they have passed the qualifying round and are allowed to be there.
We need to discuss the nachos first.
The nachos.
The nachos.
Oh, the nachos.
The delicious, mouth-watering nachos available at the tournament ground concession stand.
Is this the only food Goku has ever expressed dislike for?
It very well may be.
I think so.
Because, yeah, he turns down the idea of going to concessions and says, oh, I've had those nachos. Blech.
That's fascinating. Maybe, here's my thinking.
Not enough horse in them.
What?
Not nearly enough. Goku doesn't like junk food.
Because
when he eats heavy plates of fucking home cooking from the San family household or King Kai's food or the buffet, he's loading his plate with like what? Rice, like dumplings, like
it's pretty hearty, yeah.
Hearty, but like traditional, like it's not processed, you know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't have, like, it's not like, you know, that liquid, that plastic cheese that you'll find at, like, in the pump that you'd
the
find.
The delicious, given from God, manna from heaven.
Oh, I love it.
Plastic
Goku
cheese.
Goku does not.
He's not going to any cowabunga pizza parties.
No. That's not his style. He likes a lot of food, but he likes, you know, like, he just likes a good home-cooked meal.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair.
I buy that.
Or a cloud.
Or a cloud. It's still natural.
Yeah.
Fair. That's fair. Gohan isn't the only one who's undercover.
No, there's somebody else using a pseudonym.
Majunior.
Piccolo introduces himself as Majunior.
How do we feel about that? I mean, I like it, but
It's not a great disguise.
No, because we do kind of know what... I mean, people who know who Piccolo is know what Piccolo looks like.
Right.
But they don't know that he's also actually Kami and Nail. So maybe they're the ones in disguise.
He's using this to conceal his identity because the last time he was at the World Tournament, he blew it up.
That's true.
And not like King Piccolo, this Piccolo did it. Like, this version of Piccolo is the one who did it.
Oh,
so
I
feel
see.
Like the staff would still recognize him.
Right. You can't witness protection program yourself with a quirky little nickname.
But it seems to work.
When he blew it up, was he big?
Yes, he was big.
Well, then being little should be a good disguise.
But he started little.
Oh, well, in that case,
and then
case,
got
yeah,
big.
You're...
The correct way.
You're not gonna... that's not gonna help you, Majunior.
Mm-hmm.
Trunks is getting interviewed by every news crew that is present after his big win against Hercule, but he has no time for that.
He's
like his dad in that respect.
Saying no to things, getting mildly annoyed. They're asking, I forget what questions they ask, but just like ranging from questions that make sense to questions that are kind of weird.
Just a lot of softballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what are you going to spend all the money on? All
right.
That stuff.
Yeah. He ends up distracting them, saying that he sees Hercule, and he points. And then he and Goten sneak away. He has a secret plan that he needs Goten's help with.
Gonna jump over a wall and hide in the bushes.
Steal a pie.
Cooling on the windowsill.
I love how just, like, ready... Goten is for just whatever.
Sure.
Like, he's sitting in that little director's chair, just happily watching Trunks deal with this interview.
He's still thinking about the toys he's gonna get.
Thinking about his toys.
And the double silver Megazord.
Trunks wants to find a way to compete in the adult tournament. And that's all we get to learn about that so far.
That's as far as the thread goes this episode.
Oh man, two kids in a trench coat pretending to be an adult is the best thing, and I hope that's what they do. That's
you the hope, end of my song. You hope they Muppet Man their way into the main division.
Yes.
Goku and Vegeta begin to devour everything in the athlete's resort.
Mm-hmm.
Gohan and Videl arrive, and Gohan joins in on the feast.
These are some hungry boys.
Vegeta hears about how Trunks beat Hercule, and he gives a little smile when his mouth is full.
It's so cute.
It's the best drawing in all of the episodes this week.
It's very good. Piccolo and 18 kind of look on in disgust at these hungry fighters. Piccolo says he'll never get
hungry,
used
hungry
to
himbos.
It. Just like Piccolo and 18, they don't need to eat. They could just like this resort has other things. They could go get a massage.
They could go get a manicure.
Yeah.
It made me wonder if 18 ever does eat.
In the show? I don't know if I've seen her.
Like, if she needs to anymore. Probably not.
No, I mean, they've got their whole thing with 17 and 18 is they have infinite energy.
Yeah.
So, like, they're probably just good as is. They probably can, because they're cyborgnetic. I mean, I figure if you have the ability to have a kid with a human, you can probably just, you know, have some like fun hors d'oeuvres. That's probably in your wheelhouse.
Sure.
Of abilities. I realize that in this scene, absolutely no one is bothering to keep up the facade of calling Saiyaman Saiyaman.
Right.
Everyone just keeps calling him Gohan. No one's Gohan's not, like, flinching or freaking out at being called Gohan. I don't know what this masquerade is for. I don't know why Gohan cares about this.
He's in a place where everybody already knows who he is right now. I think it's only for when he's fighting on the stage.
That
he doesn't want
sense.
His name called out to people who are in the stands who would potentially know him.
Right.
But yes, they play very fast and loose with how much he cares about that.
They really do.
During the feast, Krillin keeps letting slip details about Gohan and Goku and Vegeta, and mentions the word Saiyan, and Gohan has to keep shutting him up when Videl starts questioning him.
Why? The cat is, like, mostly out of the bag. The cat is having fun getting one paw in its head out of the bag.
It's he like doesn't dangling. Want Videl to know that he's half alien yet. She's still dealing with the can fly and is a superhero part.
You've really just got to unfold the world bit by bit.
Yeah, like, let her deal with, okay, you can fly, okay, my dad's dead, okay, he's back from the dead, and also we're from space.
Right.
Yeah, aliens exist.
I'm from space is like
I'm
a third
half
date thing.
That.
From space is a third date thing for sure.
I used to have a tail. You remember the moon? You probably don't remember the moon.
You were as little as I was, and I don't remember the moon.
It's probably in the science books.
Back in those old science books that call Pluto a planet.
They have a textbook at Orange Star High School that's just called "Remember the Moon."
There used to be tides. We can tell this from... Man, there was probably like a whole ecological crisis for a bit there.
Yeah, but it was...
Don't worry, they fixed it with the Dragon Balls.
But it was confused with Piccolo's training.
They have to wish that there be tides and ocean currents without actually having a moon.
Yeah, it's all fine.
Moon is invisible.
The book... the children's book published a couple years later just said, "Good night... you."
They finish up their meals and they head out to where they're going to be drawing names to see who they're going to fight in the tournament.
Exciting.
And mysterious. Along the way, they bump into two weirdos.
It's weirdos. I'm so excited.
They don't look like they're from around here.
Oh, you look...
They've got like pink and purple skin and white spiky hair. That's not the color spiky hair is.
Mm-hmm. You ever look at someone and go like, "Oh, you look like plot." this is God of War, where you've been going down all of the other hallways that have the extra goodies in it, because
and
you
this
know
is the cutscene.
Yeah, you know where the cutscene trigger is, but you've been putting it off, and you're like, "Oh, this is progression now. We're locked in."
There's one short little guy. He's floating. And he's got purple skin and a mohawk.
Oh, that's a guy?
Well, it's a person.
Yeah.
I did. That's
cool. A floating person.
I didn't know.
And a tall, wrinkly one with pink skin and long hair.
Sharpener-esque hair.
Sharpener-esque, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely say with the smaller weirdo, because I'm calling them both weirdos, the smaller weirdo does have, like, a certain, like, androgynoir to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a certain queerness. Especially with, like, the lavender skin.
And the mohawk. And and the earrings.
Mm-hmm. And the perfect, like, fae smirk.
It's a good smirk.
Yeah, the little weirdo greets Goku and seems to know a lot about him already.
He's a big fan.
Says that he wants to get a chance to fight Goku in the tournament.
Sounds a lot like a certain Goku we know.
Yeah. I love this.
They take their leave to go to the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And Piccolo seems really nervous about these guys.
Even Videl's like, I get some weird vibes from these folks.
Like, yeah, you guys are all weird, but they are weird.
They shake hands with Goku, and this was such an ominous handshake. I thought for sure, like, that bit in Hercules where Hercules, like, bargains away his power for a day and then shrivels up. I thought for sure that was gonna happen.
Something like that, because
they're gonna shrivel up Goku, but
the little weirdo's like, well, you're certainly very brave. Walks away. I'm like,
shake my hand.
Okay.
Yeah, the little weirdo seems to be able to sense something from the handshake.
Yeah, that we're not really let in on yet. Mm-hmm. This is great. I have a vague idea of who these folks are. I have no idea. I had no idea this was how they first showed up in the show. This is so. I'm excited now.
I have no idea who those people are. Those earrings look familiar.
Sure do.
Mm. But here's the thing. So as far as, like, the upcoming saga, right? Mm-hmm. I know main story beats. I know who some of the main characters are. I vaguely know some of the tempo that occurs. I have no idea. I see the stars, but I don't see the constellation. I have no idea how they're connected yet, and I'm...
You've seen some of Super also.
Yes. And I'm so excited to figure out how this all folds together, because now we've kind of been, like, kind of trolling around with all these sort of filler arcs and extra mm-hmm. little episodes and little tournament stuff. I'm like, the tournament can't be the central conflict here, can it? And then there's these weirdos. I'm like, all right. I'm just excited for a possible existential threat.
Aaron, any thoughts or guesses?
I didn't know that. I don't know anything. I don't. I know, like, what saga we're in, I think. Uh-huh. I thought I knew what saga we were in. I know the name of the. A large pink character.
Uh-huh.
I've learned the secret of what is the deal with cookies. And I've known there were people with these familiar earrings, but I thought they were a Super thing and not this. And it's like, whoa, what's happening?
My question to you is that you've seen this scene and you've seen the music and the setup. Do you think these folks bear our heroes good or ill?
Gosh, they sure are ominous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't, like, it seems ill, but, like, I don't know what manner of threat, like, what, I don't know who these guys are or where they come from. Like, do they want to just kick Goku's butt? Do they want to take over the world? Are they good? Are they evil? Do they just want to fight? Like, what? I don't know. There's ominousness there, but I don't know, like, how to interpret it.
Right.
It's a very reminiscent duo dynamic that we've seen before.
How so?
Of a very tall individual and then a scarier little one, I'll say.
That's true.
A more ominous little one.
Hmm. That's true. Yeah, the little one's definitely the Vegeta outfit.
Oh, yes. I definitely love his design. Like, a lot, mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah.
How about that fashion?
Very into the fashion.
Yeah, I love the coat that, like, bows around behind them. It's a good it's a good coat.
Big shoulder pads.
Billowy. It's kind of like Piccolo-y in a way.
But still visually distinct. Like I didn't even connect. Oh yeah, big shoulder pads. That's this whole show's thing. But
we
I didn't even connect it to like Piccolo and Frieza Force. It's just it's a whole new people, whole new outfit.
It's a new kind of shoulder pad.
Any other thoughts for the episodes this week?
I don't think so.
I forgot to ask if you had bets on which kid would win.
Oh, I remember the scene where Baby Trunks clocks Satan into next week, so I was operating at a disadvantage.
I don't think I did have a guess. I was sort of interested in either outcome.
Yeah.
And so I like, neither outcome seemed narratively set in stone. Like, there would be interesting beats to the story and their relationship, regardless of which kid won.
Yeah.
And in this case, the rich get richer.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were winning money, huh? Not just their father's pride and the chance to punch Satan.
Right. What now, Satan? Well, how about we hail Marin for a bit?
Hail Marin.
Yes, let's.
Last time we saw Marin, she stole a... she upgraded a spaceship, we'll say, so that she could get some faster-than-light travel going. So that she could make it to South Galaxy, because she was traveling with Earth, an Earth capsule, which would take way too long to get there. So she ended up meeting, or not meeting, but seeing Jocko and Tights' spaceship at like a interstellar diner or gas station or something. And they just sort of jacked that one. The space patrol ships are the fastest in the universe. Self-proclaimed, anyway.
Oh.
I feel like this is like a...
Is this a small space patrol ship? Is there room for all the hunkos?
They're probably pretty snug.
I'm imagining this is No Marin Sky.
Oh.
Basically.
Just doing, like, sick jumps towards the South Galaxy, collecting resources, scooping up oxygen.
Aaron, I'm going to post a picture so you have a visual reference of what we're dealing with.
Okay. Oh, a tiny little buddy.
So they're pretty snug in there.
Okay, only, yeah. It's either a hunko cuddle party, or it's only, like, three or four... Of the hunkiest hunkos.
I did want to say something that I had been thinking about is that I appreciate our leap in logic that we were operating under the limited information of a frog that inflates and a tickle bug makes South Galaxy a hedonist paradise.
I mean, yeah.
Like, that's all the evidence that we needed.
A bacchanal galaxy.
I mean, I guess in as much as that we're in West Galaxy.
We're in
North.
North. We're in North Galaxy. So I guess in as much as North Galaxy is a punchinalia. Like, I mean, probably it's just like normal levels of hedonism, but there's some like pockets and some elite training sexy arts schools.
Sure.
It's like martial arts, but, you know.
A little more sensitive.
Wink. I don't know what we'll do once she gets there.
She'll probably just, like, stay, maybe get something from the gift shop, and fucking find another place to go.
Gosh, yeah, does the Space Patrol even go to other galaxies, or is this all a North Galaxy thing?
That I don't know.
Because it sounded like Frieza was just a big deal in the North Galaxy, and all the other galaxies are like, never heard King Cold?
What's a Frieza?
What's a... I put my sport drinks in there.
Right. I don't know.
A long thing, and I'm kind of like... I'm a little reluctant to say goodbye to our girl Marin. Have her just go away to some other galaxy where we'll never see her again. Earth needs...
We can see her as often as we want to.
It's in our mind's eye. We can travel to any galaxy we want. In the blink of an eye. Is there a Frieza of the South Galaxy, which is just holding the cosmos in a grip of just horny hegemony.
Well, now there is.
Now that you mention it.
Now that you mention it.
I do vaguely remember that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. What household appliance would be a good...
Roomber.
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 There's probably a better one.
Dryer.
No, it was just a gut reaction.
I like Roomber.
No, go with your gut. Yeah. That's where the key is stored.
Yeah, you gotta bring
it
out.
That's true, we did learn that.
Right.
Just gotta pull it out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Roomber is...
And as you have...
Wants to keep everything just, like, squeaky clean, neat and fair and square.
It's sort of like a hall monitor for the galaxy, making sure nobody's horny.
Very, very
just
organized. It's just a footloose in space.
Make sure everybody's horny and doesn't have good fashion, is appropriately muscular, but not a hunko in any way.
And that's why they have set their sights on South Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the most disorganized of the galaxies.
We've got to, liberate South Galaxy from the Roomber hegemony. Oh, this will be fun.
Is there anybody else you want to check up on?
Is Beelzebarbara going to be hosting, or was she planning on hosting a watch party for the fights? Because on the one hand... She's probably not a big fan of that Mr. Satan. On the other hand, her baby girl's gonna be fighting.
She made a Mr. Satan head-shaped pinata.
Good. I love it.
Yeah, she for sure DVR'd that fight so that she could watch it over and over.
And Launch sneezed and turned into Bad Launch and then shot up the pinata. And thus it was full of bullets, but also Jolly Ranchers.
How's about a 4-star reading?
Yes, I'd love to. Well, for those uninitiated, what we like to do at the end of this show is we like to take one of the birthdays of our various Z Fighters and derive from that a horoscope. We flip over to the astrology section of our local paper and we read off a little something for the character in question. Perhaps it's a bit of advice, or a warning, or perhaps a premonition of things to come. In this case, however, we're going to be focusing our crosshairs on someone who has been pretty relevant to this chunk of episodes, right?
Yeah.
It's time for Trunks.
Little Trunks.
Oh,
Trunks.
Oh.
We're just getting out of Leo season, but we're ready. Because Trunks' birthday, based on his manga debut date, was August 13th, 1991, so we just passed it. Happy birthday. So, Trunks, our dear Leo, this is your reading. You can't guarantee the crowd will react positively when you give your presentation today. Some may react logically, but others will react with more emotion, and while this might create an unpredictable vibe in the room... It is a good sign that what you have to show is important. Never shy away from making an impression on people just because you fear that it will be a negative one. Be bold and make yourself known today. The strongest boy in the world!
He certainly made an impression on Hercule's face. With his knuckles.
Nappa Nappa.
Thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes in for this show every week. Aaron, what would you like the fans to know?
Well, if you happen to find yourself in or around Dayton, Ohio, you can come to the Black Box Improv Theater. We have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I perform with a group on Thursday nights.
And Jason?
Well, yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch.tv, and the name for all three is JCAVES. That's JAYCALVES.
Destructo Discourse is on Twitter at Destructo_Disc, DISC. Our pinned tweet is an invitation to our fan Discord server, and we also accept emails at DestructoDiscourse@gmail.com. If you'd be so kind, please leave us a rating and a review on your podcast service of choice. And if it uses a star system, make it a 4-star rating.
But
we demand it.
Because that's the Gohan.
That's the Gohan, which is not nearly as much as the Goten. It's about 4/10 of a Goten. That doesn't make any gosh darn sense.
It makes about as much sense as any of the math
in this
show does.
That would be 2/5, and that would be rating us 2 out of 5 stars, and we don't want that.
No, we want 2 of those.
We want 8/10.
8/10.
That's 4.
Give us the 8/10.
Give us the 8/10. What?
This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away. Chala, chala, no time to hesitate, don't wanna search the earth, within it by the magic surprise. Oh, chala, chala, be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through the night. Oh, chala, chala, no time to hesitate, don't wanna search the earth, within it by the magic surprise.